Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Good afternoon. That was the voice of God, apparently, and this is not the voice of God. This is the voice of Paul Kaplan. I run the MA in Advertising at London College of Communication, and I was asked to introduce this session where my students will be discussing the excellent work they've been doing with AI with a couple of industry professionals. But you don't want to listen to me when an AI can do a job so much better. So I asked Claude a question. This is a question I asked. I'm doing an introduction to a conference session where my students will be talking about a project they did working with AI on an advertising brief and what they learned. Please write a 400-word introduction for a professional audience. Please include a joke. This is what Claude had to say. Bear with me a minute. Technology is a wonderful thing. This is proving the point that AI is not easy to work with. Apologies again. Nearly there. There we go.
Good morning, esteemed guests and fellow professionals in the world of advertising and marketing. It is my distinct pleasure to welcome you all to this exciting session, where a group of brilliant young minds will share their insights and experiences from working on a groundbreaking project that combined their creativity with the power of artificial intelligence. Before we dive into the main event, allow me to set the stage with a little humor. You know, they say that artificial intelligence is the future, but sometimes it can be a bit too intelligent for its own good. Just the other day, my AI assistant tried to convince me that the best way to advertise a new line of organic fair trade coffee was by creating a viral video of a dancing goat wearing a tiny sombrero. I mean, come on, AI, we're trying to sell coffee here, not start a new meme trend. But in all seriousness, the project our students undertook was a remarkable endeavor that pushed the boundaries of what can be achieved when human ingenuity and machine learning come together. Tasked with developing an advertising campaign for a real-world client, these talented individuals embraced the challenge head-on, leveraging the power of artificial intelligence to enhance their creative process and deliver truly innovative solutions. Throughout their journey, our students encountered both triumphs and obstacles, learning invaluable lessons about the intricacies of AI integration, data analysis, and the delicate balance between human creativity and algorithmic decision-making. They grappled with questions of ethics, bias, and the responsible deployment of AI technologies, emerging with a deeper understanding of the profound impact these tools can have on the advertising industry and society as a whole. But their efforts were not merely an academic exercise. The campaigns they developed were not only conceptually brilliant but also rooted in real-world practicality, demonstrating a keen understanding of target audiences, market trends.
Market trends. It does go on, but you've heard enough from me. You want to hear from the real people in the room. Welcome, my four human friends.
Well, thank you, Claude, and thank you, Paul, for this lovely introduction. Just to explain to you guys how this is going to go, we're going to start off by having Jordan and Raf talk a little bit about their projects. Then we're going to have it turn into a bit of a panel discussion where we can all, just talk about the kind of big picture developments of AI and especially where we think it's going to be heading in the future of the industry with the next generation of creatives and advertisers. But yeah, let's open it up.
All right. Well, we'll start off with Jordan. Your brief was really, really interesting. So I just wanted to see, can you talk us through your brief?
Yeah, for sure. So when I did my project, I looked specifically at planning a brief with ChatGPT, mainly ChatGPT, just because it's the most used and like widely like publicized in the media AI tool at the moment. But I decided to look specifically at how project managers within advertising companies can use ChatGPT to kind of like do their work more efficiently and decrease the amount of time that it takes to create things like project timelines or help them plan a brief. That's me.
I think that's such an interesting and such a different angle, especially in the creative industries. So yeah, love to hear a little bit more about how you found just getting into that.
I think project management's a really interesting role specifically because a lot of like discourse around AI at the moment, it generally talks about how it's going to impact creative and a little bit of this kind of like strategy side of things. Just because that's very easy to look at something like a creative piece that's been made by AI and like go immediately, crap, that's going to take my job, or crap, that's going to really like speed things up. Whereas with something like project management, which is still an integral part, an integral job role within an agency that allows kind of like great work to be made, I think it's really interesting looking at that. And I decided to look at that specifically because I just feel like it's not really talked about that much. So if you take something like a project timeline, it's really easy to take into ChatGPT, give it a start date and an end date, and for it to just produce a timeline for you instantaneously in terms of how am I going to tackle this brief. I can give it the brief, I can give it 20 days, and it'll break down for me step by step how I'm going to do that. The question that you would then next ask is, okay, how good is that output that it's given me? Is it incredibly surface level, or is it something that's actually going to impact my job role and allow me to do things a lot quicker? And kind of like where my findings went with that was that there's so many cracks to ChatGPT. It's kind of a yes man at the moment. It, whatever you put into it, is going to tell you that it can do it. So let's take the project timeline as an example. I decided to continually ask it to create project timelines for things that became increasingly difficult. So we started with a brief for Tesco, I think it was. And then I decided, okay, how about asking ChatGPT to create a project timeline for me to get to Mars, or for it to solve World Peace, or for it to tell me how to kind of like find total happiness in life. Every single time you do this, it would give you an output that surface level, you'd look at and go, that's feasible. But when you look into it a little bit more, you realize that there's so much like human intuition that's required for something like a project management role. So this kind of like yes man narrative that I decided that was kind of like where I was taking this project was really interesting, and where I'm trying to like focus on how we can change that through prompt re-engineering or kind of like learning how to write prompts in a way that get past that yes man that ChatGPT is kind of like coming across as at the moment.
Excellent. Yeah, I think that's such a novel way of approaching it, especially in the creative industry, but so important. Now we're going to turn the tables a bit, and you are going to...
Yeah, for sure. So coming back to that kind of like the yes man narrative and the way that you kind of like continually ask ChatGPT for increasingly difficult things, I kind of like feel like there can be a bit of a blind trust in AI. Every time you write something into it, whether it's a quick fix or it's like a long term thing, you go, okay, am I going to kind of like just take that answer and use it in my job or not? So I kind of like wanted to pose the question of whether you think that we're falling into a trap, or like what the harms are of kind of like blindly trusting the outputs of things like ChatGPT.
I mean, I think definitely one of the pitfalls, I guess, is the hallucinations. I mean, you know, you can't take, say, if you're whatever output you get, say, from ChatGPT or any other AI tool, you can't take it for granted. You know, the output is as good as your input or the quality of your data. So I think that's something, you know, that human touch that you still need, that, you know, you have to take almost the information with a little bit of grain of salt. I think Mara and I were discussing that too, that I know there's a lot of discussion out there and worries whether AI may act as a substitute for certain things. And I think that we should look at it, and maybe you're seeing it, Jordan, in your project as a complement, as an assistant. So I think it can work. AI and, you know, human can work well side by side. I just don't think you can blindly follow AI as, you know, what they say.
And if I could add to that, I think whether we like it or not, people and everyone is going to be using AI, they already are, as much as they possibly can in their job. And I think it's like understanding that balance of like when to use it and like when not to use it. And I think the only way that we can really look at that is like getting down job level, what do people do on a day-to-day basis, and how can AI help that? And like, where can I use it? Where should I use it? Where shouldn't I use it?
Right.
100%. And just what you were saying about the limitations of AI, I think there's also very much that element of, are the limitations because it's still people coming to grips with how to use AI, or are these actual limitations of the AI tools, which... I think it brings us nicely onto Raf's project. So do you want to give us a little overview of yours, please?
Yeah, of course. So our project was about using ChatGPT in the creative development or overall development of a campaign for Tesco. Me and my partner, Kiko Wu, we worked alongside ChatGPT, of course, in the creation of a campaign called What's in Your Fridge? And one of the things about the campaign, we created a custom ChatGPT tool called ChefGPT by Tesco, aimed to help Tesco customers come up with recipes, ideas, very healthy and easy, based on a chosen budget and Tesco's product range. It was all very easy, which was very surprising. There was no coding necessary. And just fill in some descriptions, attach a few documents like a product sheet, and we were all ready to go.
Nice. So I actually had two questions. One was, at what point did you decide to use a custom ChatGPT? I think you used both standard GPT and a custom. So when did you and your partner decide that it was needed?
So basically, for the creation of everything, we used ChatGPT solely. And the ChefGPT was actually just a result of the campaign. It was one of the sort of something that we wanted to incorporate, I think, into it. We got really inspired by the Heinz AI campaign that it was shown to us when we went to BBH and received the brief. So we knew we wanted to kind of incorporate that into it if it did fit our target audience, which it was Generation Z students. So ChatGPT is a technology that is very familiar to students. So we're just answering to this familiarity. Obviously, it's all kind of made up, but you guys still can access it if you can, if you want to. And it is very helpful, but yeah.
Yeah, and the second question, I think the other takeaway that came out was that the use of different personalities, mm-hmm. how I think the role play, how you use maybe GPT as a copywriter.
Yeah.
So can you speak to that?
Sure.
More.
So basically, we role played with ChatGPT in different tools. We kind of role played as the creative director to kind of like set the tone and some kind of hierarchy and kind of challenge the AI. It was just a way to just a direction to go. So we chose different tools and we gave roles such as art director, strategist, and copywriter. This because we were asked to analyze it, so great experience. But I've got a few complaints, okay? Yeah. Oh, just one. Just one.
Yes, please.
I don't know. Like, for one of the one thing that really did bother me is that for one of this experiment in particular, when deciding the target audience for the campaign, the ChatGPT decided that Generation Z was the generation to go because they are extremely brand loyal, which is something that we all know it's not true. We just thought it was like very hard to push AI beyond generalizations. Mm. And I think AI is really good at producing answers that sound right. I wanted to ask you something. Yeah. What are your thoughts on the reliability of ChatGPT or the custom ChatGPT tools? And are there any potentials, challenges, pitfalls to using such tools?
That is a big one. Love that question. Because, I mean, part of it comes down to what we're talking about with Jordan, which is the like limitations of it, because that comes into it as well. And, I mean, again, is it the fact that we haven't yet fully unlocked the potential of custom GPTs, which, I mean, now with the latest OpenAI news and it becoming generally accessible, might change a few things? Or is it the fact that there are inherent limitations? And I think that's why projects like yours that actually don't just look at the theory of it, but really just take it through the practice, take it through all the experiments are so important.
Yeah.
Because that's how you find out, like, at what point does it make sense to use a custom GPT? At what point does ChatGPT just do the same thing? I mean, for me personally, the way I've seen the most value from custom GPTs is just that they almost like, it saves as a pre-prompt. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to re-prompt it over and over again. But I'm sure that's just also scratching the surface of all the bigger capabilities of it. Just a tiny bit. I know before we were talking about the big news developments around OpenAI and the fact that now that they're opening up accessibility to the GPT store, making it easier theoretically for anyone to create the GPT, does that mean that uptake wasn't very high to begin with? Because there's such contradictory figures as to how many people are actually creating and using the custom GPTs. Or are we now going to see, now that it's more open generally, are we going to see more really clever and innovative uses? But yeah, I would love to hear.
Yeah, and I think to jump on that point about the custom GPT and the success of the GPT store.
Yeah.
I think that if someone is, I'm not really sure if, you know, we're at a point where we're monetizing. I could be wrong about custom GPTs. But I think the question is, how do you differentiate one from the other? And I do agree with Mara that I think, to me, a custom GPT does act like an assistant. I think it is similar to prompting in the sense that you can build on, say, your brand voice, the style, how you write, things like that. I am curious with this OpenAI announcement how more people, if any, will use custom GPTs. Mm. I mean, that's just my opinion on that.
I think, like, especially with OpenAI, what they're doing with like these custom GPTs is like very much like what Apple has done with like the App Store. They're like keeping it incredibly creator economy in the sense that someone can create something and then it's like open source now for other people to pick up, use, tailor to their needs. I think what's also going to be really interesting with custom GPTs is when like businesses or ad agencies start creating their in-house GPTs. So like, imagine having like a BBH AI where like you have that for all your internal work and it's trained on data that company has access to. That could be like super interesting. And like that's going to give like a big advantage to a lot of like places that like I take a company like Amazon, which has access to so much information already and data. Like if you can have an internal tool for the employees there, I think that's like also like super interesting in terms of like seeing those pop up.
100%. Oh, sorry.
No, I was just to add on to that. I think the one thing I would probably bring up is the ethical question too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that we still need to be worried or keep mindful of when creating a custom GPT that you're not using, obviously, confidential information. So I'm hoping that as these tools become more accessible to the public, that there's guardrails and, you know, in place that we're using the data properly.
Yeah, and I think just before we take it into looking at the kind of future of AI and for the new generation of folks entering the advertising industry, one thing I'd love to hear, just going back to your projects from each of you, is just a little tidbit about something that surprised you.
Yeah, I think what surprised me is the dopamine hit that I feel like you get whenever you use ChatGPT, because you think that you've crunched like 10 hours worth of work into the space of 2 minutes. And then, like what I was saying earlier, you then realize that, hold on a second, this kind of output that it's giving me is a load of rubbish. It's just like a lot of words. Is actually going to help me like do my job? And I thought that I wouldn't really succumb to that. I think I thought that, okay, you use it and you understand what you're going to get from it. But I just felt like you'd, every single time you'd use it, you get this dopamine hit because you think, all right, found a little hack here. Then it turned out that like there's so much more like learning that you need to like put into it to understand exactly how to get the specific outputs that you want, like using the creating a project timeline as an example.
Chat addiction, I love it.
Yeah.
Or do I?
So I think something that surprised me is just like, I think it just left me a lot of doubts about productivity. When we were coming up with the insight for the strategy of the campaign, it was just like a very lengthy process. We kind of fed this framework into it and all the information that we already had. But we kind of had to train the AI, but even with training, we couldn't get the answers that we wanted to, but we were only able to spot these answers or these mistakes because we already had the background to actually, the experience to actually be like, no, this is wrong. It just really mind boggled me about productivity. Like it's a very lengthy process, but is it as lengthy as actually doing it yourself?
I think that builds really nicely back to Joya's point about having the ethical guardrails in place. You had the capacity to double check whether that information was accurate or not. If it were about a topic you'd know less about, you wouldn't necessarily have that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think as a side note, it was about insight and it was a bit of a relief for me in a way, because advertising is all about human experiences. It's all about culture. It's all about human essence. And seeing that AI could not capture that, it was solely just paraphrasing our research. It was like, my job is safer now. It was a relief thing.
We say that, but I think we were talking earlier, like one question that we want to pose to you guys is like, what do you think about getting into advertising now and the threats of getting into advertising, or even if it's worth getting into advertising now, considering everything with AI?
By saying the obvious, AI is here to stay. I mean, it's in every industry. So I think that's the reality that we're working with. And just like any industry, I think there are some jobs that are definitely at risk, but I think that it may redefine other jobs. And I think one question that Mara and I have this discussion a lot, is that as advertisers continue to use, say, or create AI-generated ads, will there eventually be a backlash? You know, maybe from younger generations, will they be receptive? Will they not want, you know, more AI-created advertising? Do they want that human touch?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think that's interesting to see. I mean, we do see a lot of brands using it, but eventually will it get to a point where people are, I don't know, maybe they're tired of it. I don't know.
I think that builds really nicely on, because Joe and I were just having a little pre-discussion about, yeah, gosh, what does it mean? And again, with all the challenges of like being, of just entering the workforce when it's in the process of this huge, incredible revolution. And it is very much about the fact that AI can bring to life creative ideas that weren't possible before. I mean, this, again, relates into all the other tech developments like the rise of fake out of home, which are just these really clever ideas that you couldn't have pulled off otherwise. But at the same time, it might take a good long while for AI to be in the position where it can create those ideas. So again, very much to, I think, one of the kind of common threads and themes we've seen here, which is the fact that AI is very much like, the value of AI is an assistant as opposed to being like an independent agent that's, or even true collaborator that's running around and helping you churn it all out.
Right. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
As the next generation.
I think right now, it's a really, AI, it just went through this whole boom. And I think people are like intrigued. People, at least my generation, they're intrigued. They are surprised and almost curious about it. So I think right now it's a good topic, but it's also like, I think we got to a point that people are kind of getting a bit scared of it, and it's not that fun anymore. And also about productivity is in AI as an assistant. I think AI is great, and ChatGPT is great to brainstorm, unlock ideas in your head. But yeah, for the rest, maybe not too much. But yeah.
Yeah, I think it's definitely an exciting time. I think it's probably one of the most exciting times to like get into advertising, because we don't know what AI and ChatGPT and other tools like that are going to be like in a year's time. So to be here for that ride and to like hopefully get on the car and the bandwagon early enough to kind of reap the rewards or see where it goes is going to be really, really exciting. I think it is scary, but anything that's new is scary. So I think if you're not scared, then maybe you should be a little bit more worried. I don't know. Yeah, I think... really exciting time.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that really also, again, just relates to your project. So again, the actual getting in the weeds, sorting it out, coming to grips with it. So the very seeing the very practical side of it for yourselves and discovering both the, getting a feel for limitations, getting a feel for the capabilities, which we all are, but on that very practical level, I think, it really puts you guys and the other folks who went through the process miles ahead, I would say, even of some folks who've been in the industry for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
So yeah, that's looking at the future, the present, and the state of AI. But do you think you guys are going to keep using AI for future projects then?
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I use it a lot, ChatGPT, but for the brainstorming, it just confuses me mostly, and it's a love and hate relationship.
For sure. A love and hate relationship.
The best way to describe it. Yeah, but yeah, we'll continue.
We'll continue, and yeah, no, it's been, and you're using it definitely from.
Yeah, as much as I possibly can. I think the more you use it, the better. I think you learn by doing things, and you learn by using it. So I think to use it is like the best thing possible.
Well, we can't wait to see how you guys use it as you get into the industry.
Cool.
And yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @AdvertisingWeek and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcander, the audio conference solution.